Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars, The Mandalorian Armor. Book 1 of the Bounty Hunter Wars Trilogy by K.W. Jeter. Now, during the events of Return of the Jedi. The live ones are worth more than the dead ones. That was the general rule of digital appendage for bounty hunters. Dengar hardly needed to remind himself of it as he scanned the bleak and eye-stinging bright wastes of the Dune Sea. So far, he'd spotted a lot more dead things than living, which all added up to a big zero for his credit accounts. He stood at the top of the dune, shielding his eyes from the glare of Tatooine's double suns, and scanned across the wide declivity in front of him. The forms of warriors and bodyguards sprawled across the rocky wastes showed that he'd found the still and silent epicenter of all that fatal action he had so wisely avoided. A whole batch of the galaxy's toughest mercenaries had gone down with Jabba the Hutt's sail barge. Bits and pieces of wreckage of the barge that had served as Jabba's floating throne room lay scattered across the farther dunes. He used a broken-shanked scythe staff to poke around the rubble. So much for Luke Skywalker and the rest of them, thought Dengar as the point of the staff revealed sticky and distasteful evidence of Jabba's death. As if that little band of rebels didn't have enough trouble with the whole Empire gunning for them, now they'd have the late Jabba's extended clan after them as well. Dengar lifted a length of chain, the broken metal at its end twisted by blaster fire. The last time he'd seen this hand-forged tether back at Jabba's palace, it had been fastened to an iron collar around Princess Leia Organa's neck. Now the links were crusted with the dried exudations from Jabba's slobbering mouth. The Hutt must have died hard, thought Dengar, dropping the chain. A lot to kill there. One substantial piece of wreckage remained. The hardened durasteel keel beam of the sail barge rose at an angle from where the stern end was buried beneath a fall of rocks. Dengar scrabbled aboard the curved metal and climbed the rest of the way up to where the barge's bow had been. He unslung the electrobinoculars from his belt and brought them up to his eyes. This was a pointless trip, Dengar thought disgustedly. Anything of value was already trundling away in the Jawas' slow, tank-treaded sand crawlers. The knot of frustration in Dengar's gut was instantly replaced with surprise as the keel beam suddenly tilted almost vertical. He held on with both hands as the beam pitched skyward. At the center of the dunes, the slope grew deeper, like a funnel with a black hole at its center. Dengar looked down past his own boots and saw that the hole at the bottom of the sand funnel was lined with teeth. The great pit of Carcoon gaped wider, sand and rubble swirling around the blind, all-devouring Sarlacc creature at the center of the vortex. A sour stench hit Dengar like a wind hotter than any that crossed the desert's reaches. Suddenly the beam swayed backward, leaving him dangling precariously only a couple of meters from the Sarlacc's throat. A pumping kick enabled him to get first one, then the other of his boot soles up onto the beam. He squatted into a deep knee bend on the narrow metal surface, then jumped, fingertips clawing for the funnel's edge above him. With a gasp of effort, Dengar managed to get his chest across the shifting edge of the funnel, then scrabble the rest of his body over and tumble down the other side. The dune sea grew silent again. The Sarlacc had most likely pulled its head back underground and was busy digesting the bits of wreckage it had just been fed. Dengar figured that would give him time enough to get a safe distance away if he hurried. Three dunes later, he stopped to catch his breath. To his amazement, he saw that the scraps of debris, the barely distinguishable pieces of Jabba the Hutt's sail barge, still filled the center of the pit. The truth dawned on him. It's dead, thought Dengar. Something, or someone, had managed to kill the Sarlacc. The rotting stench had been from the creature's own torn-apart flesh, visible beneath the wreckage. Now the sense of life, however malignant, beneath the desert surface was extinguished. Dengar was just about to power off the Binox when he spotted something nearly 50 meters away. Another corpse lay on a stretch of rough gravel. Face up, Dengar could make out the front of a narrow, apertured helmet. That was about all that was intact. The rest of the dead man's gear looked as if it hadn't been burned away so much as dissolved. Some kind of acid bath, reducing uniform and armaments to rags and corroded, pitted shapes of useless metal and plastoid. Dengar thumb-wheeled the Binox into closer focus, trying to figure out what could have happened to create that kind of lethal effect. Wait a minute. Maybe not exactly lethal, Dengar corrected himself. He could see the figure's chest moving, a slight rise and fall, right on the edge of survival. Now that was worth checking out. If only to satisfy his own curiosity, the distant figure looked as if he'd discovered a whole new way of getting killed. As a bounty hunter and general purveyor of violence, Dengar felt a professional interest in the matter. The light on the dying man's face dimmed. The differential in temperature was enough that he could just make out the blurred edges of shadow falling upon him. He wondered what new vision his agony-fractured brain was about to conjure up. There were others he knew here in the belly of the beast. He had seen them fall and be swallowed up. He might as well hallucinate voices from those about to be digested. It would help pass the long, endless hours before his own body's atoms floated free from one another. One of the voices he heard was his own. Help.
What happened?
Sarlacc swallowed me. The words seemed to come of their own volition. I killed it. Blew it up.
Hang on, came the hallucinated voice. I'll get you someplace safe.
The man called Boba Fett felt the jostle of the other's footsteps, the motion of being carried across the stony ground. For a moment, his vision cleared, the blindness dissipating enough that he could see his own hand flopping limp and disjointed, leaving a trail of spattered blood on the sand. That was when he knew that what he saw and felt was real, and that he was still alive. Kuat of Kuat had felt the hyperspace messenger pod's approach even before his own corporate security chief came to tell him that it had been intercepted and placed the elongated silver ovoid on Kuat of Kuat's workbench. The hereditary CEO of Kuat Drive Yards, the most powerful contractor of engineering and construction services to the Empire, had a fine-tuned awareness of machines. It was a family trait, something encoded deep within the Kuat blood for generations. He pried open the silvery ovoid, dismantling the pieces of its shell in a precise order, and laid a tender, possessive hand on the holoprojector unit that had been revealed. When Kuat of Kuat activated the holoprojector, the images and sounds of another great room were laid over his office suite. A small adjustment muted the audio portion of the playback. Kuat of Kuat didn't need to hear Jabba's slobbering voice and the cruel laughter of his sycophants to discern what was happening. He froze the playback and walked into the center of the hologram. The forms were insubstantial as ghosts. He could have passed his hand through any one of the sycophants and hangers-on surrounding the hut's throne-like hover platform, but detailed in such perfection that he could almost smell the sweat and rank odors of decay rising from the grates in the synthesized floors. "You're dead, aren't you?" With a thin smile, he brought his face close to the stilled image of Jabba the Hutt. "That's such a shame. I hate to lose a good customer."
Over the years, Jabba had commissioned several large orders, lethal equipment for his thugs and hirelings, from KDY's personal armaments division, plus elaborate palace furnishings and a superbly appointed sail barge with military retrofits from one of the Kuat subsidiaries devoted to luxury vessels. There had been extras thrown in that Jabba had known nothing about. Hidden recording devices that had captured nearly everything that took place in the palace on Tatooine and aboard the floating barge. A good contractor, thought Kuat of Kuat, knows his accounts even better than they know themselves. Word of the Hutt's death had already seeped through the galaxy, gladdening many, setting off an acquisitive scramble among others. What he'd already heard about Jabba's death was confirmed by the holographic image. One of Jabba's ineffectual little hands held a length of chain, its other end fastened to a collar around the neck of a human form. Standing at the edge of the recreated platform, Kuat of Kuat appraised with a connoisseur's eye the revealed attractiveness of Princess Leia Organa. He made a mental note to seek this woman's acquaintance. If it happened, he wouldn't be such an idiot as to leave something as simple and deadly as an iron chain lying about. "Never hand your enemy the means by which she can kill you," Kuat of Kuat spoke aloud to the dead Hutt's image. Jabba's death was a minor concern at the moment, though. Even the presence of Leia Organa at the late Hutt's court was at this moment of no great significance to Kuat. There were other faces he sought in the past. With a few delicate adjustments to the playback unit, Kuat of Kuat ran the recording back toward its beginning. Before Leia Organa had ever entered Jabba's palace, disguised as an Ubi's bounty hunter with captured Wookiee in tow. That should do it, thought Kuat as he glanced at the scene and froze the image once again. Kuat of Kuat walked slowly through the recreated court. He didn't spot what he was looking for until he raised his eyes toward the holographic court's encircling gallery. The distinctive helmeted visage of Boba Fett, the galaxy's most feared bounty hunter, gazed down at the mingled courtiers below. Kuat of Kuat adjusted the probe's angle in the holoprojector's circuits. Without even glancing over his shoulder, he could sense Jabba's image and the others in the Hutt's dimly lit court restored to motion. A Twi'lek dancing girl had become the source for Jabba's amusement. The image of Jabba the Hutt, wattled bulk jiggling and eyes widening with delight, reeled in the chain fastened to her iron collar, dragging her toward the throne-like platform. Just as Kuat of Kuat expected, the next few moments of the playback showed the trapdoor sliding open in front of Jabba's platform. The dancing girl's fall snapped the links of the chain. The court's motley denizens clustered around the grate, straining to watch her death at the claws and teeth of the Rancor, Jabba's favorite pet, in the darkness below. Kuat of Kuat reached over and froze the playback, the better to scan the images for the one in whom he had the most interest, and who was no longer there in the hologram. Kuat of Kuat ran the recording unit back to the point where the bounty hunter, face hidden behind the visored mask of his uniform, could be seen watching the court below him. This time, he didn't let himself be distracted by the fate of the Twi'lek dancing girl. Starting up the playback again, he saw where Boba Fett had slipped unnoticed from the gallery and out of the court, even before Jabba had started pulling on the chain and dragging the girl over to the trap door. Interesting. Kuat of Kuat let the holographic recording play on. Our friend, he thought, had another agenda. Not surprising. Boba Fett had not reached the top of the bounty hunter trade without building up a network of business interests and contacts, some of them, if not most, completely unaware of each other. Kuat ran the holograph forward. Much further on in the recording, he spotted the bounty hunter's image, snapping a blaster rifle up into firing position, as the disguised Leia Organa held up an activated thermal detonator and demanded payment for the captive Wookiee she had brought. So he did return there, mused Kuat. Whatever mysterious appointments Boba Fett might have kept in Jabba's palace, they hadn't prevented him from attending to his duties as the Hutt's freelance bodyguard. It was a safe assumption that the reports gathered by Kuat's corporate intelligence division were accurate. They had described Jabba's death and had mentioned Boba Fett being there at the struggle. More than that, the reports had also described Boba Fett's death. What Kuat of Kuat wanted was proof of that. Someone like Boba Fett had a disquieting habit of survival. Kuat of Kuat would have to see the bounty hunter's death before he would believe it. And if that proof didn't come, he would have to make other plans. Plans that would include more than one death as part of their internal workings. Then, just after Star Wars, A New Hope.
Stick with me,
Bossk told the new guild member.
And I'll show you how it's done.
You needn't act wise and superior with me.
The close-range audio unit built into Zukos's breathing apparatus had enough bandwidth to let his irritation sound through.
I've collected nearly as many bounties as you have. Your family connections are the only reason for your rank in the guild.
Bossk displayed an ugly, lipless smile toward the partner he'd been assigned. The urge to reach over and pull the other's head off was almost irresistible.
Maybe later,
Bossk told himself,
when this job's over.
He pointed a talon down the corridor in front of them.
The thermal charges are already in place.
The point of Bossk's claw indicated a pair of tiny bumps on the doors of the casino's main accounting office.
When I blow them, I want you straight through those doors. Don't bother scanning for guards. Just dive in.
He shoved Zukos out ahead of himself at the same time as he hit the trigger device mounted on the sleeve of his stalking gear. Thermal charges ripped open the sealed doors. No fire came from beyond the ripped, heat-distorted metal.
Zukos!
He shouted into the comlink mic mounted near the leathery scales of his throat.
What's going on?
Well, the good news is that we don't have to worry about the guards.
Bossk charged into the casino's accounting room.
Look,
said Zukos. He bent down and touched the hole in one guard's chest plate.
I'm getting a thermal reading here. The plastoid hasn't cooled. They were all lasered while we were still standing out in the corridor. Somebody beat us to it.
That's impossible,
snapped Bossk.
We'd have heard any blast powerful enough to get through that wall. Unless...
A sudden suspicion hit him. He glanced over his shoulder to the opposite wall. A sonic dissipator. The dials on its silvery ovoid surface, trembling at the overload point, hung overhead.
That crossbred spawn of a...
The curse died between Bossk's gritting fangs. There was only one bounty hunter who used that kind of sophisticated and expensive equipment. They caught up with their adversary out beyond the planet's atmosphere. Bossk jammed the point of his talon down on the comm button.
Shut off your engines,
he barked into the link.
You have merchandise on board that belongs to us. Specifically, one sentient individual by the designation of Nil Passandum, formerly employed by the Transgalactic Gaming Enterprises Corporation.
Your property. And why would this said individual, if he were aboard my ship, belong to you?
Bossk pressed the comm button again.
By authority of the Bounty Hunters Guild. That's what makes him ours. Hand him over now, and you won't get into trouble.
That's very amusing. But you seem to be laboring under a severe misapprehension. I'm not restricted by the authority of your so-called Bounty Hunters Guild. I answer to a higher law.
Which is?
Mine.
The temperature of the scattered atoms between the ships couldn't have been closer to absolute zero.
Specifically, what's mine, I keep until I get paid for it.
Bossk's words grated through his fangs.
Look, you conniving, diseased...
The comm indicator blinked off, the connection broken by the other ship.
There he goes.
Zukos gazed up at the viewport. The flaring trails from the engines of the Slave One, the transport of the galaxy's most ruthlessly efficient bounty hunter, blurred and disappeared into hyperspace. Bossk's slit pupils narrowed as he glared at empty space. The other ship and its pilot and his captured prize might be gone, but the seething fury in his scaled breast wasn't. The figure in the cage cowered back from the bars as Boba Fett approached. There's no need for that. I'm not being paid to hurt you.
And if you were being paid to do that?
The former head accountant for the Transgalactic Gaming Enterprises Corporation gazed sulkily from the holding pen, the only one presently occupied aboard the Slave One.
What then?
You'd be in a world of pain. I do the things for which I get paid. It's nothing personal.
Then we could make a deal.
Fasandum looked up hopefully at his captor.
You let me go, and I'll make it worth your while.
I'm not making a deal with you. I have my reputation to think of.
You're...
Fasandum gaped at him in amazement and dismay.
You're what?
The Hutts and all my other clients, they pay me the kind of bounties they do because of one thing I deliver. Once I've caught my prey, nothing stops me from bringing it in. Nothing. If I take on a job, I complete it, and everyone in the galaxy knows that.
But I've heard of other bounty hunters who'll cut a deal.
Other bounty hunters may conduct their business as they please. Fett barely managed to keep from his voice the contempt with which he held the so-called Bounty Hunters Guild's members. That kind of short-sighted greed was one of the reasons he had no desire to associate himself with the Guild. They have their standards, and I have mine. Fasandum's knees visibly weakened, his hand sliding down the bars as he sank limply toward the cage's floor. Whatever glint of hope had been in his face was now extinguished. The tapering cylinder floated in the Slave One's viewport, gradually growing closer. It didn't even look like a constructed artifact as much as it resembled some accidental conglomeration of glue and wire. As Fett's ship approached, the space-drifting home, Kudar Mubak, the arachnoid known as the Assembler, had spun from its own guts, blotted out more of the stars in the viewport. Fett cut the Slave One's approach engines, leaving the craft with enough momentum to keep it on a slow and steady course toward the Web's dock. Faint greenish lights showed in a rough circle, indicating the docking section of the Web. One of Kudar Mubat's sub-assemblies, called Signaler, was a phosphorescent herpetoid node. Kudar Mubat had let enough intelligence develop in the node so that it could blink out a simple directional landing pattern for any ship making a rendezvous with the Web. Inside the ring of light, the tips of the grappling nodes had already begun to ease into position as the sub-assemblies woke from their dreaming half-sleep. Boba Fett hated the idiot appendages, all pieces of which were connected to Kudar Mubat through a living web of neurofibers.
There you are in your entirety.
Kudar Mubat's voice sounded from in front of Boba Fett as he ducked beneath a ridge of hardened silk.
How truly a delight it is to see you once more. I knew you'd return, crowned with the imminence of success.
Stow it. I have other business to take care of, said Fett. He let his masked gaze rest upon Kudar Mubat's insectile face like the sharp point of a bladed weapon. Pay me, and I won't detain you from your own business. Everyone in the galaxy knew what Kudar Mubat's business was. There was no other entity among the stars quite like the notorious Assembler. If there were other members of its species on some distant planet covered with skeins and nets of their extruded neural silk, that world hadn't been discovered yet. Perhaps Kudar Mubat was the only existing Assembler. Fett had heard rumors dating back to a time before he'd become the galaxy's most feared bounty hunter of Kudar Mubat's predecessor, another Assembler of whom Kudar Mubat itself had been a node, a semi-independent creature like the ones that scuttled around this web, dragging their neurofiber tethers behind them. That parent Assembler had made the mistake of letting one of its offspring become a little too developed and independent and had paid the price. Death and ingestion by the web's new owner, the usurper, Kudar Mubat. The Assembler is dead, thought Boba Fett with distaste. Long live the Assembler. Even Hutts, with their monstrous appetites and vicious family rivalries, drew the line at actually eating one of their own. With the web drifting through interstellar space had come the Assembler's business. Some entity had to act as the universe's go-between and intermediary, especially among all the world's criminal elements and those who did business with criminals. If there had ever been a time when there had been honor among thieves, it was long over in this galaxy. Boba Fett had never cheated any of his clients, though he had been forced to kill quite a few. If everybody had held to his standards of business morality, there wouldn't have been any need for an operator like Kudar Mubat. As it was, the Assembler took a justifiable percentage for the services he provided. The setting up of deals between murderously inclined entities, the holding in escrow of bounty payments, the transfer of captives to those who had put up the credits for them. The Bounty Hunters Guild worked almost all their jobs through Kudar Mubat. Boba Fett used the Assembler when that was the client's preference, and the percentage was raked off from the other side, and not his own.
But my highly esteemed Fett...
As Kudar Mubat dangled from the web ceiling, it rubbed its tiniest and most agile forelimbs together.
It is not entirely a matter of such highly enjoyable socialization that causes me to desire the extending of your visit to my abode. Your business and mine once again coincide. Is that not a pleasing happenstance?
What business are you talking about?
Boba Fett studied the Assembler's narrow face. Usually, any news of a bounty being posted was caught directly by the Slave One's programmed comm scanners.
A private job?
You are so astute.
The Assembler's forelimbs made little scraping noises.
Yes, my dear Fett. A very private job indeed.
Private jobs were the cream of the bounty hunter trade. There were times when clients, for reasons of their own, wanted some fugitive entity caught and delivered with a maximum of discretion. Posting a bounty galaxy-wide effectively eliminated any chance of maintaining secrecy. For the client to get what it wanted, arrangements would have to be made with one particular bounty hunter. More often than not, that would be Boba Fett himself. Over the decades, he'd built up a reputation for confidentiality as well as effectiveness.
Who's the client?
It wasn't essential for Boba Fett to know, though it sometimes made the job easier. If it was all being arranged through Kudar Mubat, the client's desire for secrecy might be absolute, without even the hunter knowing who was putting up the bounty.
Is it one of the Hutts?
Not this time.
Kudar Mubat displayed his approximation of a smile.
You and I have done so much business for Jabba and his brethren lately. After I turn over our little friend Posandam to them, I would not be greatly surprised if they decided to tighten their purse strings for a while. No, no, don't say a word.
The four limbs waved about.
You don't need to remind me that I can hardly deliver anything to anybody until you've been paid. Balance sheet!
The Assembler's screech ran down the length of the web.
Get in here, immediately!
Kudar Mubat's accountant node carefully picked its way along the fibers and entered the central chamber. Of all the sub-assemblies, this was the one that Boba Fett had always found most to his liking, and not just because it was the one that actually handed over the bounties that its parent held in escrow. The crab-like balance sheet, as Kudar Mubat had named its extruded creation, had a laconic no-nonsense approach to its duties that Fett found similar to his own. He would be sorry, or as much so as he ever was, when Kudar Mubat would determine that the little accountant node had developed as much intelligence as could be allowed. Balance sheet, like other nodes before it, would be eaten by its parent before there was any danger of independence and mutiny of the kind that had made Kudar Mubat master of the Assembler web. Kudar Mubat watched as Fett tucked the amount-sealed credit packet into one of his gear's carrying pouches.
I often wonder,
the Assembler extended its smiling face toward him,
just what is it that you do with all the credit you get paid?
One of Boba Fett's rare flashes of anger rose inside him.
That's none of your business.
Slave One had signaled that the captive had been removed from the cargo hold and into one of the Webb's dismal subchambers. The temptation to stalk out of this place, to get back into his ship and tear himself into the cold, clean depths of space was almost overwhelming.
Let's talk about the business that you and I do have with each other. Who's the client?
There isn't one.
Kudar Mubat seemed delighted to make that announcement.
Or at least, not in the usual sense. I'm not acting on behalf of a third party. This job would be for me.
So, just what is it that you want me to do for you?
Tell me first, or tell me again, what you think of the guild. You know, the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Fett gave a slight shrug.
If any of its members were at all proficient, they wouldn't be in it. An organization like that is for the weak and harmless who think that by combining their forces they might become deadly. They're wrong.
Harsh words, my dear Fett. Harsh words indeed. I'll have to make it very much worth your while, expensively thus, to entice you into accepting this little job of mine.
Fett kept his helmet's featureless gaze on the assembler.
Which is?
It's really very simple.
Kudar Mubat clicked the points of his forelimbs together.
I want you to join the Bounty Hunters Guild.
You're right about one thing, said Boba Fett.
Kudar Mubat's eyes glittered even more brightly.
Yes? What's that?
Fett's suspicions, already aroused, became sharper.
The simple jobs, he said to himself. Those are the ones you get killed on. This job of yours...
Yes?
The tethered sub-assemblies crept closer to Kudar Mubat, as though the web itself were narrowing tighter.
Boba Fett gave a slow nod of his helmet. It'll cost you.
After every job came the cleanup. The Slave One was a working vessel, not some pleasure schooner fitted out for languorous cruising between the stars. Even so, Boba Fett preferred keeping the craft as neatly functional as possible.
Besides, thought Boba Fett grimly, I can't stand the smell.
He squeezed his fist tighter, a soapy antiseptic wash trickling into the bucket set on the floor of the cargo area. There was something nauseating about the humanoid scent of fear that seeped into the very metal of the cages. Passandum hadn't left much of a mess for which he was grateful. The floor of the cage was scratched, though. Bright metallic lines glinted through the darker layer of plastoid beneath Boba Fett's boot soles. The Mandalorian battle gear had a built-in optical recorder. Boba Fett leaned over the scratches, not even bothering to decipher them. A second later, he had scanned the marks and inserted them into the helmet's long-term data storage unit. He could deal with them later, if he grew curious about what pathetic epitaph the accountant might have devised for himself. Now. I want to talk to him. The female had a gaze as sharp and cold as a bladed weapon. Dengar could barely recognize her. He remembered her from Jabba's palace, although a lot had changed since she'd been one of Jabba's fetching playthings. Even in this little time, the harsh winds of Tatooine's Dune Sea had scoured her flesh leaner and tauter, the heat of the double suns darkening her skin. Why? Leaning against the rocky wall of his hiding place's main chamber, he kept a safe distance from the female. He's not exactly a brilliant conversationalist at the moment. Her name was Neela. She had told him that much when he had caught her sneaking towards his hiding place down the sloping tunnel from the surface. He had gotten the drop on her, catching her off guard from behind a stack of empty supply crates. With her throat in the crook of his arm, as Dengar's other hand had painfully bent her wrist up toward her shoulder blades, she'd answered a few questions for him. And then she had caught him in the shin with a hard, fast back kick, followed by a knee to the groin that had sent a small constellation of stars to the top of his skull. They were in a standoff now, glaring at each other from across the cramped space. Let me talk to him. I have my own business with him.
What business would an ex-dancing girl have with a bounty hunter? I'm getting soft, thought Dengar. There had been a time when he wouldn't have bothered asking questions until there had been a corpse lying in front of him with a hole burned through its brain. That was what letting himself fall in love, not with this female, but with his betrothed, Manaru, had done for him. There was still something human inside Dengar. That was the part that had looked upon Manaru and had decided, despite all the rest of his scrabbling, calloused nature, to twine his fate with hers. It was that human part that had also decided to send Manaru away. Their separation from each other would continue at least until this business with Boba Fett was over. Dengar knew the risks in getting involved with someone who had as many grudge-bearing enemies as Fett. There were plenty of diehards from the old Bounty Hunters Guild who had good reason to hate his guts. If they found out that Boba Fett was still alive, they'd be swooping down on Tatooine en masse to finish him off. And me, Dengar had told himself. Risks meant profits, though, in the bounty hunter trade, and profits were what Dengar needed if he was going to have any chance of paying off the massive debt load he was carrying, and then have any kind of life with Manaru. He wanted out of this game, and the only way to accomplish that was to keep on playing it for at least a few more rounds. And the best way to do that, he'd decided, was with a partner like Boba Fett. And that's what Fett offered me. When Dengar had discovered him, half-digested by the gullet of the Sarlacc, lying in the sun-baked wasteland, Dengar could have put him out of his misery right then and there, but had stayed his hand when Fett had spoken of a partnership between the two of them. The only card he'd had left to play. But things might be different, Dengar knew, when Boba Fett got his strength back. Dengar pulled himself back from his grim meditations to the hard-eyed female regarding him from the other side of the chamber. You're not seeing him unless you explain your connection with Boba Fett. Neela shook her head.
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. Dengar gave a quick, derisive laugh. You come sneaking in here, not exactly the smartest thing to do, and you don't even know why.
That's what I came here to find out. That's why I want to talk to him. I just know that there is a connection between the two of us. I knew that back when I first saw him in the palace in Jabba's court, when that fat slug had poor Ula killed.
Neela closed her eyes for a moment as a shudder ran through her slight body.
When the screaming was over and Jabba and the others were still laughing, he was still there, just as before, watching. And then, the strangest thing... He turned and looked at me, right into my eyes, all the way across Jabba's court. And it was like there was nobody else there at all. That was how it felt. And that was when I knew that there was something between the two of us, something from the past. I even knew his name without asking anyone else.
Neela slowly shook her head.
But that was all I knew.
The story intrigued Dengar. If this female meant something to Boba Fett, then knowing just what it was might give him an additional bargaining chip. You said it was something from the past. Your past? She nodded. So how did you wind up at Jabba's palace?
I don't know that, either.
Neela's fists uncurled, empty and trembling. Her memory had been wiped. Dengar recognized the signs, the confusion and welling fear, and the little bits and pieces, scraps of another existence leaking through. No wipe was ever complete. Memory was stored in too many places throughout the humanoid brain. So someone, thought Dengar, wanted her alive. Fett? What about your name? Dengar nodded toward her. Neela. Was that something you remembered?
No. Jabba called me that. I don't know why, but I knew...
Her brow furrowed with concentration.
I knew it wasn't my real name.
What she told Dengar coincided with his own suspicions. Neela was a slave name. It didn't fit her. The aristocratic bearing she possessed was too obvious, even in the ill-fitting scavenged outfit she wore now. Dengar had more suspicions that he didn't feel like voicing right at the moment. Fett must have done it. The other bounty hunter must have brought her to Jabba's palace. He'd probably also been the one who'd performed the memory wipe on her. The big question was why. Dengar couldn't believe it had been done on Jabba's orders. The Hutt had enjoyed young and beautiful objects, but he'd also been too tight with his credits to have commissioned the kidnapping of the daughter of one of the galaxy's noble houses. So Fett must have been working for someone else when he had ostensibly been in Jabba's employ. That wouldn't have been unusual. The puzzle rotated inside Dengar's mind. "Is there anything else you remember?" Dengar rubbed the coarse stubble on his chin as he studied the female. "Even the littlest thing."
Another name. Nil, something. Wait a minute.
She touched the corner of her brow.
Now I remember. It was Nil Passandum, or something like that.
Neela's expression turned hopeful.
Is that somebody important, somebody I should know about?
Dengar shook his head. Never heard of anybody like that.
Still,
Neela looked a little crestfallen.
It's something to go on.
Maybe. He had his doubts about whether it was anything useful. He had even bigger doubts about Neela herself. Keeping one's contacts primed for information was an essential part of the bounty hunter trade, and he hadn't heard anything fitting her description. If anybody was looking for her, they were doing it on the quiet. That might make getting paid for finding her somewhat difficult. Or else, another possibility rose in Dengar's thoughts. Somebody doesn't want her to be found. Boba Fett might have been working for someone who had wanted this Neela to be disposed of, maybe in some way that left her still alive. What better than to strip out her memory and stick her on a backwater planet like Tatooine? Though how long she would have stayed alive in Jabba's palace was debatable, given the Hutt's murderous amusements. Whoever had sent her there couldn't have been too concerned about her survival. His brain felt weighted down with all these questions stacking up on top of each other. Now he had two potential bombs on his hands, either one of which could result in a quick death for him, if he was lucky, or a messy one if his luck ran true to form. It hadn't been bad enough getting involved with Boba Fett's fortunes. Now he had to deal with the enigmatic Neela as well. None of it looked good, which had its own upside. The more risk, Dengar reminded himself, the more profit. If there was a chance of being partners with Fett and reaping the rewards from that, he would have to ramp up his courage to a new level. "All right," said Dengar aloud. He unfolded his arms and pointed to the female on the other side of the hiding place's main chamber. "Let's work out an arrangement, you and me. Stipulation number one, don't try to kill me. If we're going to get anything accomplished around here, that's a basic requirement."
Neela appeared to think it over, then nodded. "Okay."
"Number two, I'm in charge here. I'm running the show."
Neela's anger flared. "Wait a minute."
"Shut up," said Dengar. "It's for your own good. And it's just for the time being. You get back to wherever you came from, you get your real name and everything that comes with it returned to you, and you can do whatever you want. But right now, you don't even know who you are. You don't know who might be gunning for you. You don't know anything about what the galaxy is like once you get off this little rock heap surface."
"Very well," said Neela sullenly. "You're in charge. For now."
"I'm glad we understand each other."
Neela looked straight at him. "What about Boba Fett? That's why I came here."
"That's number three. You don't have anything to do with him unless I'm right there with you. That guy's one dangerous barv. If there's some kind of connection between you and him, it might not be one that's to your benefit. When he's got his strength back, he might kill you just as easily as look at you, and you won't be asking any more questions then, believe me."
The message seemed to sink in. "All right," said Neela. "Whatever you say."
There was more that he hadn't said. His precautions weren't just for her sake. "I don't want the two of them conspiring against me," thought Dengar. Fett would be fully capable of making his own deals with Neela that she wouldn't be able to resist falling in with. A bounty hunter didn't get the drop on people just with weapons that someone could see and feel burning through one's gut. The history of what Boba Fett had pulled off with the old Bounty Hunters Guild indicated that he was a master at ensnaring sentient creatures in subtler traps. Though you wind up just as dead, thought Dengar, either way. Now I've got two that I've got to watch out for. She might as well have read his thoughts. A thin smile appeared as Neela regarded him.
You trust me?
Of course not. On that point, Dengar could afford to be honest with her. I don't trust anyone.
Neela signaled her understanding with a quick nod. I still want to see him.
That's easy enough, said Dengar. But if you were planning on having any kind of talk with Fett, I don't think that's going to happen anytime real soon. He's still unconscious.
Just as well. The thin smile faded from Neela's face. I changed my mind about that part, for now. Maybe it's better if he doesn't know about me. As you pointed out, whatever our connection is, it might not be exactly safe for me.
Sit yourself.
Dengar's caution went up a notch. She's a fast learner, he thought.
Come on.
He pushed himself away from the wall of the main chamber.
Let's go pay our guest of honor a visit.